All right, John Ireland here. Ramona will be joining John here in just a few minutes. So
yeah, she's doing TV.
Did you catch any of our conversation? I know I'm really late to the game on this thing. Went to the Dodger game yesterday.
I know. I thought about you when they hit that 3-1 homer early. I go, oh God, Sliwa's going to be the new Jinx. It looked bad. They're just too good.
They were down 3-2.
Yeah, they're just,
by the way, people don't.
They were down 4-2.
They're down after the 3-run homer and then the 4-2. But and people were immediately like, hey, you should leave the game. Like, we're in the fourth inning. Can I get a couple more innings? They are really. It's almost ridiculous. But I was mentioning. Very late to the game on this. I had my first Dodger dog yesterday.
Okay.
First new Dodger dog.
Since they changed from Farmer John. Yeah.
I had the Farmer dog before, and on my way out, I'm like, you know what? Let's grab one of these and let's just give my opinion on it. I didn't put anything on it.
Yeah.
No mustard, no onions, relish, ketchup, any of that stuff. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. I didn't have any issue with it. If you told me that I was at the park and I was going to be, you have two hot dogs. I'm going to eat both of them, and I'm not going to complain about it.
Okay.
Have you had the Dodger dog?
Yes.
Where do you stand in all this?
100%.
People are very passionate about
100%
it.
100% with you. This is such a load of crap. This is like guys like Mason who can't let go of what happened before.
It's a freaking dog.
The hot dog is the same as it was. There is no giant difference with the Farmer John hot dog. Bergman, are you like Mason? Are you like
this guy stormed in here like I've never seen somebody walk so quick at 10:07 to get in here and just start yelling at me. Go ahead, Berg.
John, have you heard of the Sedano Sai?
No. Okay.
So there is a massive difference between the two.
This is what the people at the Dodgers do when people like Bergman bitch about the hot dogs. They just roll their eyes and go, oh, God, get off my lawn, guys, back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I don't care what they think.
Well, they don't care what you think, and these dogs are here to stay. And they're fine. They're just like the old ones.
No, they're not good. There's no flavor to them. There has no bite to them.
But you bought one anyway.
Well, no, the one time, and I will never do it again.
Okay, so this is, and I'm not saying this to back up my argument. But I'm telling you, those things were flying. Everyone was eating a dog.
Well, again, it's part of the experience, though. If you are there.
A friend of mine that works for the Dodgers says there's been no drop-off in sales.
I'm sure there hasn't been.
None.
But that says it all.
No, it doesn't. It speaks to the experience. If you go to a baseball game, for a lot of people, part of going to the game is the hot dog. Baseball and hot dogs are connected, yes?
Yeah.
If you want that hot dog, you can only buy the one that is at the park.
Okay, my neighbor Cindy, who lives two doors down from me, is a huge Dodger fan. Her and her husband go to, 10 games a year. And they used to go to like 30 a year before they had kids. She says, I'm more irritated by the fact they no longer have onions than I am about the dogs. You know, everybody's going to complain about something. I'd love to see Lon Rosen or Stan Kasten's call sheet in the morning for the incessant people like Bergman that say, the hot dogs aren't as good as they were before.
Where's
the helmet Sunday? It takes too long to get out of the park. The Dodgers break the attendance record every year. They break the hot dog sales record every year.
What?
People just love to complain.
When is the last time Mason and Ireland have had Stan Kasten on? Like, when's the last time? Because you need to bring.
We haven't had him on this year. We had him on last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Upcoming, maybe heading into the playoffs, you bring in Stan Kasten. But the next time, I'm going to let listeners in on a little secret here.
The reason we don't have as many Dodger people on is because the Dodgers own 570,
right?
And so those guys go on there whenever they want.
I know that, but guys have always had a good relationship with Stan Kasten. I think he likes you guys.
Yeah.
And the next time, though, because I think Stan Kasten will come on here every once in a while.
No, here's what Stan would say. He'd go, look, we understand that change is hard. We understand that fans are addicted to. He goes, and Stan will say this. He goes, guys, if it was up to me, Vin Scully would have been doing games for 200 years.
Right.
It can't work.
Right, but I want Bergman to directly confront Kasten on this. Like, this is the interaction that I don't care
Stan would give him lip service, and then he would just roll his eyes and hang up.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he would never come on again.
Yeah.
But what a way to burn that bridge. then going
to burn my Dodger bridge. I love the Dodgers.
What happened to Stan, who's making appearance every week?
Not the bridge.
Well, he's a part of it.
He was on every week until they started talking hot dogs.
No, I mean, just Bergman.
Berg took him off.
I mean, Bergman, you put Kasdan on the stand. Like he is a hostile witness in a trial.
Stan.
You go at him.
But wait, why did Greg, you get rid of Farmer John?
Because he got a way better deal
I don't
from
care
the
about
current
that.
People. I know you don't. But somebody's got to watch their bottom line, and it's him.
Oh, they got.
Wait, what are you
going to
say when Trey Turner leaves?
I'm not going to be happy about that.
All right, but it's not the Dodgers can offer him a ton of money. It's up to Trey Turner.
Yeah.
You know, if Trey Turner wanted to stay here, I think he'd be signed by now. It appears that he wants to test the market.
Well, he's a Boris client, but also the Dodgers wanted to wait till the season started, and Trey does not negotiate during the season.
And I think Trey Turner should get every dime that he has coming to him.
Yep.
And if that means he's going to the Astros, then we lose Trey Turner. That's the way the world works. I'm not going to hold it against Trey Turner for taking the best deal he can get.
I will say this. Yesterday, just cruising around the game, pulling up, and they still have like a lot of the all-star game stuff and the posters and memorabilia and all that stuff. And you're looking, and it's like, all right, yeah, there's Mookie in the all-star gear. Yeah, there's Trey Turner in the all-star gear. There's Freddie Freeman. You said something right when we started. They're just too freaking good. Like, I don't know how to explain. And there's a vibe at Dodger Stadium, and John, you know this, doing all the Laker games and everything else. There's a vibe there that you could just tell that you shouldn't have that many fans that excited when you're 15 games in front of the division. Like, it's a game against the Twins in early August. There's a vibe you can't really replicate right now with Dodgers baseball, and whether people like the hot dogs or they don't. That product is so unbelievably good every single night. It almost, in a sense, like you already know what the result's going to be. Like, it takes away from some of the excitement
Although,
of the games.
I'm the only one who thinks this, I know. But if the Dodgers open a series today against the Mets,
yeah,
a seven-game series, I would pick the Mets. I think that the Dodgers have to get their starting pitching back. I know they're beating everybody's pants off right now. But if they got into a series with the Mets, and the Mets threw
Scherzer
in game one,
yep,
and DeGrom in game two, then came back with Scherzer in game six and DeGrom in game seven, that's going to be really hard for the Dodgers to overcome. So I think they have to get Buehler back. They got to get Kershaw back. Maybe Dustin May will give him an arm. If they get their starting pitching back, I would switch over to the Dodgers. But right
May,
now,
I think is pretty
the
close.
Mets, I think, are – he's going to throw one more rehab stint Sunday in Oklahoma City, and then he's coming up.
Yeah, there's a good piece about May's rehab on The Athletic right now, and it seems like he's pretty close and they're pretty confident in what he's going to look like when he's back.
Yeah, but the Mets are built more for a series. The Dodgers are built more for a season.
Well, then it's, you know, the starting pitching is one thing, but Kimbrel, another example from yesterday. I think everybody's kind of sitting
well, hanging on.
You
arms.
Have your theory. What's your theory here?
My theory is the reason Dave Roberts keeps throwing him out there is he wants to make sure these guys never relax too much.
I have another theory.
Just keeping them sharp.
No, it's... This is when you find out whether or not you can afford to play him in the postseason.
Yeah.
Same thing with Muncy and Bellinger. These are the games you find out whether or not you can play them.
Well, Muncy's starting in to the hit a little
right.
Bit now.
So is Bellinger.
Yeah.
But you got to find out if Kimbrel can pitch in high leverage situations. So why not throw?
Well,
him
the
out
good
there
thing too,
if
is
they, if the Dodgers went on a 10-game losing streak, it wouldn't matter.
Well, the good thing too
it'd be
is
eight
with
games
Kimbrel,
up in the division.
Kimbrel, there's no politics to play. There's no hurt feelings or long term relationship. If you take him out of that role, okay, whatever.
All right, so here's a thought about this Bill Russell story. I have great respect for Bill Russell. I think that he won 11 titles, which, I mean, it's just ridiculous. They made the decision today to retire his number for everybody, which is probably...
Unless your grandfather did.
Deserved, right. Yeah, they did the same thing with Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. Like, Mo Vaughn was wearing 42. They let him wear it for the rest of his career. If you do it for Bill Russell, do you now, I mean, think about it. In hockey, mm-hmm, they did it for Gretzky. Okay. In baseball, they did it for Jackie. In basketball, now they're going to do it for Bill Russell. So you do nothing for Kareem?
Kareem's still living.
Right. When Kareem goes, do you do nothing?
I don't know, but I'll put it this way. I mean, it's impossible to know this for sure, But if you're asking me whether or not I think it's in the realm of possibilities that Kareem will get the same treatment, I say yes.
Well, here's the problem. No other sport has done it for two people.
Somebody always has to be first.
Or in this case, somebody has to be. I mean, I don't know if you can do it for another person now.
But you know what, though? I mean, honestly, how much blowback are you really going to take for we're going to be the second league to mm-hmm. retire a number
or the first
across
league
the league
to,
or the first
twice,
league to
yeah.
retire twice for and a truly not just all-time great, but like Kareem, I've always said, is in the GOAT conversation for most impressive human beings.
The
like how much blowback are you really going
to
deal with?
If you talk to old-time basketball guys, like guys who've been watching the league since Russell and Wilt played in it, some people will argue that Russell's the greatest defensive center in the history of the game, and Wilt is the greatest offensive center in the history of the game, and Kareem is Russell and Wilt combined.
Yeah.
He's basically one guy like, who could do all those things in one body.
You can make an argument that Kareem is the greatest basketball player of all time. You can make a credible right. argument for that. Most people are going to go Jordan, fine, whatever, not looking to debate it. I'm just saying Kareem is a credible choice. And then you combine everything Kareem meant, you know, not just to the game, but as an activist, as an ambassador afterwards, and all the historical books and documentaries he's worked mm-hmm. on, all that different stuff. What possible downside is there to retiring his number across the league?
Okay, if you do it for Kareem, what do you do about Jordan?
Do it for him.
What do you do about Kobe?
Well, with Kobe, I guess there's always the which number.
I know what he's saying. I know what he's saying about.
I don't think, though, Kobe, and again, with all sincere respect, I don't think Kobe is at that level when you talk about overall impact beyond just the game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Itself, and unfortunately, because Kobe's life was cut short, I think he was on a path towards being that.
Okay, if LeBron finishes with all-time leader in points, all-time leader in assists, what do you do with LeBron?
I mean, one of them is already going to be retired theoretically because of Jordan,
right?
And actually, it's
but you
taken
see what
care
I'm saying?
Of. No,
say
but it's
that
taken
you're
care
open
of.
Up the door.
Actually,
yeah,
that's John, what you're saying. No,
yeah,
no,
now you have to consider
no,
a whole.
There
bunch
is
of
no door because by then, 6 and 23 are both retired. So there's nothing to do for LeBron.
Well, but then the argument is, how do you recognize LeBron's greatness?
Find a different way.
Yeah. I have nothing but great things to say about Bill Russell. If this would have been put in front of me, I would have voted for it. But
what do you
I
do
now,
for the other guys?
Yeah, now I'm now wondering what you do for Kareem,
what do you think for LeBron. What do you think Michael would say when you're saying that you kind of got somebody that's watched all these? We were talking about that a little bit earlier, somebody that's watched all the generations. Every time we do the pregame show, we're throwing out some stat, and it's Wilt's stat, or it's
right.
you know whatever it is. Do you think some of the old schoolers would say kind of what you're saying about, well, if you're going to do this for Bill, make sure you don't forget about some of these other guys that have kind of helped pave the way for the league?
Right. Well, the one thing about Bill Russell is it was his social significance as much as his basketball
sure.
that
that's,
they're doing.
That's what yep. I'm saying. Most of these all-time greats, with all respect to yeah. them, they're not at the level of a Russell or a Kareem or I'd say a Magic. When
go
it come,
go
when,
other sports, Muhammad
when,
Ali.
Right. When it comes to over like significance that is far greater than the game, you can make an argument that Magic's life after basketball was more impactful than his life in basketball. Magic is one of the greatest athletes of all time, period.
Right.
So these.
So what do you do for him?
Do the same thing.
All right. So you've now taken 33
there's
off the board, 32 off the board, 23
oh,
off the
oh
board.
Oh no! There's only
six
like 97
off the
numbers to choose
well, I'm just
from.
Saying,
oh no!
I'm just saying. If it,
who cares?
Well,
like really, who
if
cares?
You, if you
he's
do
taking
it, if,
Vince Carter's number.
No, yeah. If you do it for all of these people, and you see your default seems to be, yeah, just let him in. Do it in. Let him in.
But
do
no,
it again.
It's not a default.
Then it waters down the significance
no,
of the honor.
No, it doesn't. Because what Magic, Kareem, Russell.
OK. Okay.
Tell me the counter argument for them in terms of significance, not a slippery slope argument.
Right.
But tell me how they don't meet this very rare criteria that I'm laying out. Explain how they don't meet it.
Because you didn't include Jordan.
Jordan is still living.
Right.
Maybe I did. First of all, I said if you want to do it for Jordan.
Gretzky's still living.
If you want to do
Wait till they pass.
Right, but Russell is also the example that we're using, and he just passed away. If you want to do this for Jordan, do it for Jordan, because, again, most people think Jordan is the greatest ever. I'm telling you right now, slippery slope to me, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of these problems that you're presenting as problems, I'm like, these are not real problems. Like,
well, if you say yes like you're doing to every single number, not, then it's not.
But I'm not going to say yes to everybody. I said no to Kobe. This is right? Kobe. Mm-hmm. I said that I don't think Kobe would meet that criteria. It's Kobe freaking Bryant, and I don't think he necessarily would. LeBron's a special case because both his numbers would already be retired. But, like, you know, Giannis, for example, two-time MVP. He's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. So far, I would say Giannis is not on the path to getting that type of treatment. I mean, like, the players that we've singled out so far, Magic, Kareem, Russell, and I guess Jordan, who's just sort of his own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These guys are very specific examples of why you do this in the first place. It's not just because they're great players. Like, I wouldn't do this for Wilt, for example, at least in terms of what I know about Wilt. I don't think Wilt would necessarily fall into this.
Wilt's number is retired by more teams than any other number.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the reason why I was a little surprised that they did it today is now...
What do you do from here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've set up a precedent that will be hard to follow.
What kind of a driver are you? Because I think there's two kinds of drivers. Travis is the one that 10-2, and if somebody cuts him off and yells at him and flips him off, he'll keep his eye on the road and not say anything.
Right.
He's taking the safe route.
Yeah.
I tend to a little honk here. I throw honks out a little
bit. I'm more like Travis.
More like Travis?
Yeah.
We'll say nothing?
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out, look, Ramona in the house here.
I'm here. I have so many things.
Did you go shopping during TV?
I was going to say, Ramona looks like she has been shopping all morning. She's got like 15 bags.
The Glendale Galleria.
She's right got she
her TV segment
two
was on
food
Rodeo.
Containers, a coffee. We got a lot going on.
Well, you guys, this will actually be...
Detail everything that I have going on
please.
Here.
Sure.
So first, I was like up in the... I was like your guy on up in the air, George Clooney's character, okay? I had set... My Starbucks in the last break of the show, mm-hmm. NBA Today that I was hosting, I ordered the Starbucks so it would be ready on the walk over.
Right.
Right? On the walk over. And the barista had it going, okay? But the guy at the front didn't have my chicken and hummus box ready.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, I'll be right there. I'm like, no, I'll just grab it. And I showed him my thing because he was like checking somebody out because I did not have 2 minutes to spare.
Right.
Right. I was like upset at the inefficiency because I had my efficiency down.
Yeah.
And then I got a baby present from Bobby Marks who wrapped it and everything.
That very nice.
Or maybe had it wrapped at the Nordstrom store. I think the Nordstrom people wrapped it. And then I have my nice shoes that are in the bag now because I couldn't walk across the plaza in heels.
Okay. Now, are there shots on the NBA Today where they can see your shoes?
Usually there are, but they were nice to me and just had me behind the desk.
Right, because I would think you could wear whatever shoes you want. Like Malika, they show off a little bit,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, and she walks around on the set and stuff.
Right.
And then there's this thing called the cozy corner, and I'm like, it's not so cozy when you're 6 months pregnant having to be on this. And I'm like, maybe behind the desk. I think that'd probably be best for all involved. And then the other one is the breast milk cooler, where
I had,
because of the timing today, I had to pump in the makeup chair.
Oh. Love it.
Before. I'm either going to pump on air live with John Ireland, or I'm going to do
the way,
it in the makeup chair.
You are completely welcome to do that, and I will not raise a stink in any way. We will
well,
get rid of
the
iPads. I was going to wait for the iPads.
We would get rid of the iPads,
layer.
Though. Yeah. Bergman, get the...
It would be okay, because I have the wireless
one. If Ramona's going to pump, we got to lose
the
iPads.
They've come a long way in breast pump technology, and that you wouldn't even know. You won't even
Excellent.
See it. I have a wireless one that wouldn't even. I did
wow.
it once with Sedano. I was on air, and I was like,
he's
a dad. He'll be all right with this.
You can't hear it?
No, you can't hear it at all.
Excellent.
Yeah. I was like, I did this live on air. No one noticed.
I did not know that John was going to say, if Ramona's going to pump, just get rid of the iPad.
Yeah, I got to take care of my girl here. We don't want it. You know, because you know what?
You know
what would happen.
Thank you.
It would go viral,
oh, yeah.
and then
yeah.
all the Neanderthals would get into her timeline.
Highest rated YouTube video ever.
It'd just be ridiculous.
Or not.
All the people who haven't had a date in 7 years would be complaining that Ramona is pumping
yeah.
during the show.
It really is kind of magic, though, isn't it? Like now,
love it.
I mean, you can just do that and feed your baby.
Yes. All right. Ireland and Ramona coming up next. Yep. Stay right here.
That was fun.
Bah! Guess what, Ramona?
I might be a little loud. I just did a segment with The Miz.
Well, The Miz, so are you pumped up?
Awesome!
I know, yeah, he's great. No, was his wife there? His wife's cute.
No, it was just him, and, you know, he's enough.
Yeah.
He's fun. He said that if LeBron goes back to Cleveland, that they would welcome him with open arms, but Matt Barnes followed up by saying, would you go back to Cleveland too? And he's like, no. So we got some truth out of him. That was good.
Yeah, I would be surprised if LeBron goes back to Cleveland.
Too.
I'm not just saying that because I work for the Lakers. I think he's going to finish his career here. I don't know he will. I mean, a lot of things could happen. But one thing I know is he really loves living here. I mean, he's moved his life here.
Yeah.
And so things would have to be so bad on the court. And I just don't think that it'll get that bad. So I tend to look at, I'm a glass half full guy anyway, but I didn't think he was going to leave Cleveland when he went back the second time. So there you go. Lots to get to today. We'll get to all of it. Reminder, Bergman, where are we doing Lie of the Day today?
We are doing Lie of the Day. There's a liner at the very top for you.
I am.
I'm pretty sure I'm the liar today.
It is your lie.
Yeah.
I see. Get the new ESPN LA
right below
app.
That. There's a big letter.
All right, Lie of the Day. Join Mason, Travis, Sliwa, Bergman, Jorge, and Jacob Imrani, Luxury Suite. 1 week. Well, is it from tonight or
no,
was
from
that
Tuesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday,
so this thing's outdated. But
yeah, if you click on the where it says Lie of the Day liner, if you just click that. This is behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
It'll take you right to the
You know
line.
What? I have trouble with that all the time, too.
Okay.
By the way, John Ireland, when he hosts, I get this rundown that could last a week. It's amazing
how
much prep
Bergman doesn't like it.
Really?
What? Yeah, he wants to talk about everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't. I hate doing the show before the show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I've kind of won you over. Right.
Well, with you, yeah. So, like with Mason, every day I'll sit with him and we talk about all of the things that you.
My
put
head
on
would explode.
I also think that you have way more things to do than Mason does in the morning.
This is why
I'm
it's
up.
Weird.
Mason's not up.
Right.
I'm actually awake.
I get the email from you at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. So what I do is I work on it during the Dodger game the night before, and then I tune it up in the morning.
Yeah.
And then go. It was funny. Lisa is driving today to Park City, Utah.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so she says to me, okay, I need you to get me up when you get up. And I get up insanely early.
Yeah, I know.
I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I go, okay, you sure?
Do you get up or do you just wake up?
No, I wake up, turn on SportsCenter, start working.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, like 3:30, I nudge her and I said, hey, it's 3:30.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
If you get up right now, you'll get like 3 hours of no traffic on the freeway. She looks at me. She goes, are you crazy? Goes back to sleep. Got up at 6 when I left.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's a different deal. But anyway, Momo's going to lie today at some point. You're pretty good at this. So when Momo lies, that will be your up. If you can sniff out her lie, you can win passes. Is it 2 passes they get, Greg?
Yes.
All right, sweet passes to see LAFC versus DC United Tuesday night at the Bank of California Stadium. You get Ramona's lie. We're going to do it at 3:30. So at some point, she's going to sneak in a lie, and that's what matters. This is sponsored by Jacob Imbrani. Call Jacob.com. Here for you anytime you need him. Go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Okay. I'm glad you're here, Momo, because there is tons of stuff I want to ask you about. And we're going to start here. I actually texted you about this the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know what to believe about what happens now with Kevin Durant. He has seemed to go nuclear. This is the button you push if you have already pushed all the other buttons and none of them work.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the... In case of emergency, break glass. I hate Steve Nash. I hate Sean Marks. Them or me, I won out. He's daring the Nets to do something?
And yet.
That's my question. Does it change anything, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we are, when you have a player the caliber of Kevin Durant with 4 years left on his contract,
Yeah, it hasn't even started, technically.
Hasn't even started. I mean, my former colleague Mark Stein had a story that he issued the trade request and then the next day was paid half of his $47 million salary. Like, that's when his check was due. They had to pay him all that money. Like, he's under contract for 4 years. He has no leverage in the situation. And you would think, oh, with 4 years, that would make the market for him much wider, because any team
cost controlled for 4 years, yeah,
correct. Or but also, like, he can't go anywhere for 4 years, this,
right?
Like, if you're trading for a guy with,
although is he proving now that it doesn't
exactly
matter?
Exactly, yeah. That's the point. If a contract is worth nothing, okay, if a contract is worth nothing, and but in the except the moment it is signed, then what's the stuff? Let's say they say, okay, we like the Orlando Magic's trade package the best. Let's send him to Orlando for, maybe they'll give him Paolo Banchero. Maybe they'll give him Paolo and Jalen Suggs and Mo Wagner's brother, right, Franz?
Right.
Maybe they can get three great players, three great young lottery picks. And Kevin Durant goes down to Orlando and says, oh, I don't want to play here.
Right.
He's already proven to you that he will ask for a trade.
That he'll go nuclear.
Right.
Right.
So this, it actually kills Brooklyn's leverage in a lot of ways. And I think this is what is going to be talked about in the next CBA, because we've seen this in every.
Yeah, the owners are sick of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's one thing if a player has 1 year left on his deal, 2 years left on his deal. Okay, you have a little leverage. But if you have 4 years left on your deal, like Ben Simmons last year, like Kevin Durant now, James Harden had 1-1 when he was in Houston. Even that is okay, because you can see the finish line. But 4 years on your deal asking for a trade, that's not good for the league.
What do you think the Nets are going to do?
I think they hold him.
Okay.
I don't think there's any trade out there that makes them anywhere close to as good as they are, except maybe if Boston puts in Jaylen Brown.
No, I think Jaylen Brown's in now. You mean, yeah, if they add Marcus Smart?
Yeah.
I mean,
if they really put Jaylen Brown in.
Yeah.
I think that's a little debatable if he's really in. Okay.
Well, they have to put Tatum or Brown in the deal. It's Kevin Durant,
right? So the Sixers would have to put Joel Embiid in the deal, right? I mean, it's the type of player that you would need to get back to compensate for trading Kevin Durant is so much talent would have to come back to you that I just don't think any team's going to offer that when Kevin has already asked for a trade with 4 years left on his deal. Like, you can't just force your way out with this long left on your deal. And I don't think they will.
Okay,
I think the Nets hold firm.
All right, we got a break, but when we come back, I want to ask you how this affects Kyrie, yeah, and in particular Kyrie to the Lakers. But first, I haven't reminded you guys in a while that you want to get. I've had this. All right, I'll let you guys in on a little secret.
Ooh.
If you work for ESPN,
yeah,
if you work for Disney, we get a choice. Okay, you either get free Disney bundle or free admission to the parks, but not both.
I didn't know this.
You got to pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to talk to your agent.
Yeah.
This is part of the deal.
I didn't know that. All right.
When we come back, the latest on Kyrie Irving, how this affects Kyrie, because I think he is somewhat tied to them. And also, if you think the fans in Brooklyn would be mad if the Nets trade Durant, at least one New Yorker says it's the opposite.
Huh.
We'll play that for you coming up. Momo, back off maternity leave and back in the saddle.
Woo!
And potentially breast milk pumping during the show.
Now there's a tease.
Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace for the next couple of days. And we were just talking about, I agree with Ramona, by the way. I think the Nets stand pat. I don't think they have any incentive to give Kevin Durant what he wants. But Michael says that if a player's that unhappy, he can poison your locker room.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought Sean Marks was talking about. At the end of the year when he had his press conference, when somebody said, what about Kyrie? He goes, well, this isn't just about Kyrie, but we want people that want to be here. We want people who are available. We want people pulling on the right side of the rope. Unless that was all just lip service, now they're going to turn around and force Kevin Durant to play on a team he doesn't want to play on. That's the one holdout I have.
Here's what I don't get.
You agree with me, there's no way they're firing Nash and Marks
now. No, I mean,
it's too late.
You basically, if you leak a story like that, and, you know, I mean, he has a meeting, there was a lot that was talked up besides that, but the one big screaming headline that comes out of it is that he wanted those two gone. I mean, you know that you actually had a chance of those two being gone if it doesn't leak. But if it does leak, then now, it now, almost makes it not happen. Because the owner cannot do that at that point. Now it's a challenge to, you know, his authority. It's a challenge to hierarchy. You just, it's almost impossible to do that. But what I don't quite understand about this whole thing, and I'm trying to piece it together as a reporter because I'm trying to dive into the story. What is it that KD is so upset about? Like, what?
Yeah, why does he want out?
Why?
Because if you look at that roster, right, they could win the East.
It's a good team.
They could go to the finals.
If Ben Simmons gets back to anywhere close to what he was, and Kyrie Irving is in a contract year.
And they have Seth Curry, and added Royce O'Neal. Yeah. And by the way, they've got a couple of guys on their bench who can really play.
That's right.
And so I don't know why Kevin wants out, but apparently he does.
Yeah.
And so let me get this in there. There's a lot of people that are making the argument. Well, they can't. Brooklyn can't trade Durant because the fans will go nuts. Chris Mad Dog Russo has been a media guy in New York for 35 years, and he's doing a bunch of work on First Take. And he said the other day that if you think the fans in Brooklyn are in Durant's corner, it's the opposite. Here's Mad Dog.
As far as his just behavior with this contract and what he has done, it's a complete disgrace. And I'm telling you right now, that I talk to those Net fans. You live here. You know that. They're fed up with him. You know, we know how great he is.
Right.
You know how great he is, but we're fed up.
And so I think he's worn out as well going there. Now, how does this all affect Kyrie? Am I right to assume that if Durant stays, Kyrie stays with him?
I don't know if I would connect those dots. I think there is not really a trade for Kyrie that makes sense right now for the Nets. And this is where you get to gut check time, okay? If there's no trade that makes sense for them, for either player, how uncomfortable are you willing to be? The Sixers just lived through that with Ben Simmons, but...
But they sat him. He didn't play.
Yeah, well, he sat himself.
Right.
I mean, they would have played him. But would the Nets live through that? Would they have the stomach for it? I mean, John, you were there when Kobe Bryant asked for a trade, said he'd rather play anywhere else.
Pluto. Yeah.
Did he come on your show?
Dr. Buss didn't blink, yeah. The morning, that's who he, when he said Pluto.
Yeah
he did
How was
a media.
That I mean, he was really mad. He really wanted out.
And Dr. Buss didn't panic, didn't trade him. Instead, they traded for Pau Gasol, and they went to the finals the next 3 years in a row.
And Kobe was the MVP.
Yeah, this very well could end that way. I'm not completely sure. But
I'm Brooklyn, I hold both guys because you're going to be trading Kyrie at his lowest value. He's in the last year of a contract. He's coming off a year in which he sat half the games and was seen as unreliable, and the issue with the vaccine, but also his own behavior on and off the court. Like, you're not getting much for Kyrie Irving at this point. And he is a great player who's in a contract year, who's going to want to play really well this year and do everything right to earn his next contract. So I think you should try to hold on to him. If there's a deal that makes sense for him, sure, listen, because that is more of where a lot of their problems started last year. Right. And the culture in the locker room. But that's, if you're Brooklyn, I think you have a championship team with very little recourse to reinvent itself outside of getting a massive haul for both of those superstars. Because my sense from them is they don't want to go the Oklahoma City route. They don't want to go and just spend the next, trade all their guys and spend the next 5 years rebuilding. They did that already. They don't want to just drop off and go into obscurity. They want real players. And you're not going to get great players right now.
Yeah, it's something worth watching. You know what's interesting? The schedule's not out yet.
Yeah.
And normally it is by now. Because the NBA's in a corner. They don't know, like, do you put Brooklyn on Christmas?
I would.
Do you put the Lakers on Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know who the big draw is going to be.
Actually, they just haven't played each other, like last year.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, I'm wondering... If you've noticed, Ramona just went and did NBA Today, but once NBA Today ends, the only thing on ESPN right now is the Little League World Series.
That's right.
And so they've got all these teams from all over the country, and one of the things they do when kids come up is they put up a graphic that says, this is Jacob Berich. He's 11.
Yeah.
He his favorite Power Ranger is the green one. So one of the things they do is they – ask you what your dream job would be. And I loved this because yesterday, one of the kids, they asked him what his dream job would be. And you all, you know, you think you're going to see astronaut or cop or, you know, something like that. He said, chicken nugget taste tester. Brody Jackson of the Missouri Little League team says he wants to be, he's 11 years old. He says he wants to be a chicken nugget taste tester.
Yeah.
When Bergman, when you were 11,
yeah,
what was your dream job?
I mean, if you had to take one guess, what do you think it would be, what I would be want to be?
I don't know. Might be mine. Mine was.
I wanted to be a baseball player.
Yeah, you
wanted
to be the Dodgers.
I wanted to be shortstop for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my dream.
Exactly.
I wanted to be. I like, remember when you say, yeah, your mom said, say your prayers. Okay. I want to be shortstop for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Then I realized I'm never going to be the shortstop for the Dodgers. But that's chicken nugget taste tester is a much better answer than shortstop. What were you? When you were an 11-year-old Ramona Shelburne, what was your dream job?
I was kind of a dork. Okay, so you want to know what my...
Weather girl?
No, I wasn't weather woman. I wanted to be an archaeologist because I was really into the Indiana Jones movies.
I don't think that's nerdy at all.
And I thought that was super cool to be like Indiana Jones.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think a lot of people had that,
in that
result.
Era.
Like somebody told me the TV show The Love Boat that was on when we were kids made everybody want to go into the cruise business.
Oh.
They wanted to be like Julie McCoy or Doc or me, of course. I wanted to be Isaac. I wanted to be the bartender on the boat.
No, I wanted to be Indiana Jones. And then when I got to college, I actually took a class that was like a beginning class if you wanted to go into archaeology. And do you know how boring that is?
Yeah.
Like you spend 6 months with a little toothbrush trying to clean off what may have been a button 2,000 years ago.
I think that's like a question. Yeah. Jorge, 11 years old. Jorge Briones, what's your dream job?
Soccer player, professional soccer player.
You wanted to be wear number 10 for some kind of...
maybe number 2 or 11.
Yeah. All right, so what team did you want to play for?
In the Mexico leagues, Cruz Azul maybe. My way up to Real Madrid or one of those, Manchester United. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Notice how what's weird is nobody says when they're 11 years old they want to be Jeff Bezos, but now everybody does.
Seriously.
You know, and that's what you should... You know, you want to be Bill Gates... You want to do that? It just seems like that would be a better
chicken
answer.
Nugget tester.
Tester.
A chicken nugget tester, though, that's something that you really only want to do when you're a kid. Like as you get older,
like
you don't want to be.
No, I would do it right now.
You would still do it right now?
Hell yeah!
No, okay, see, I did get 10.
So
Daniel's
really into chicken nuggets.
Week.
Right. This
and
is Ramona's
this is my older son.
Yeah.
And he's really into chicken nuggets, and so my mom, when she comes over a couple days a week, she really makes the best chicken nuggets. She makes them in the oven where they're nice and crispy, and she uses the olive oil spray. And so it's not like, you know, me
she
and Dev.
She just doesn't throw them in the microwave.
Yeah, if you throw them in the microwave, they're good for like 5 minutes, and then they get all hard and rubbery.
Right.
You know. So my mom makes them really good. She makes like the whole box.
Okay.
So there's always some left over. But lately, Daniel has been hoarding them. Like, I used to be able to, like, pick one off.
Teal, take two or three for yourself.
Yeah. He came in the other day and he said, did someone eat some of my chicken nuggets? And I was looking
that
around
a boy,
like.
Boy, Daniel. Protect your turf.
Do I cop to it? Like, that was me.
Yeah, you have to.
I did. I copped it. I said, I thought you had extras. I thought, no. And then he took them back and he was like, don't eat my chicken nuggets. I was like, okay.
Damn.
You never give in. Never give in, Momo. You said somebody else did it. It was grandma. It was grandpa. It was daddy.
Blame Nevin.
It doesn't matter. Yes, Nevin was the one that did it. It's never mom.
Okay, did you see this? That there's a guy that plays for the Mets who's a big fat guy.
Which one?
Daniel Vogelbach. Have you seen him?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what his walk-up song is?
Let me hear. Yes.
This is a fantastic choice.
That is called Leaning
If you're a big fat guy.
Yeah.
For this is Milkshake by this is Lizzo,
Kellis.
Right?
Kellis.
And so that's his, and it got me to thinking. So the Mets, in honor of National Women's Day, asked everybody. This was part of it. Asked everybody to pick a woman song.
Yep.
Did you see what Jeff McNeil picked?
No.
Okay. He loves the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Okay.
And he's not afraid to admit it. So he picked a Hillary Duff song.
Yeah.
So it leads me to this. And I need honesty out of all of you. Bergman?
Yes.
The most embarrassing song in your music library is what?
Oh, God. I got to think about that for a second. I don't.
All right.
Oh, no. It's something that my kids listen to. So my daughter listens to a bunch of weird, like, almost emo type
EDM
music. No, it's not EDM, but it's like this weird emo stuff. I don't even know what it's called. Verbatim by Mother. I don't know. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I make no apologies that on one of my, you know, I put my iTunes yep. thing on shuffle a lot.
Yep.
And something that comes up at least once a month, Mbop by Hanson.
What is wrong with you?
Wait a minute. Song too.
Yeah, what's wrong with Mbop?
That is a terrible, awful song. It was never good at any point in its history.
It was a monstrous hit.
Now, doesn't make it good.
The problem is... Now, the problem
I
is...
I think I have one now. I'm looking through mine.
The Hanson brothers
I
are
like
now
it.
So old that they yeah. can't hit this note. They can't
oh,
get this high.
Can you yeah. sing it in your old man voice now, since they're old men?
No, well, I don't know if I even know the words. I just
Mbop.
Yeah. But see, they sound, this is like before their voices changed.
Yeah.
So I don't think they could play it anymore. All right, Ramona, what is it?
What's I the think most- mine is Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus.
That's not embarrassing.
Sleewa just texted me, anything Shania Twain.
Oh,
not,
I definitely
not
have
even
that.
The least
One,
bit embarrassing.
One, two, yeah. a three, four.
Yeah.
Come
not,
on.
Sleewa, that isn't even
That's
embarrassing.
Not, no, Shania's awesome.
Yeah. You need, I have a bunch of boy band music.
I
on
bet
my.
You do.
I have 98 Degrees. I'm In Sync.
Yeah, you
I'm,
do.
Backstreet Boy. Backstreet's back.
Oh,
all right. Yeah.
yeah.
What?
John, you know I'll go with you on Backstreet Boys. There it is.
Yeah, there's Shania Twain.
There's some Shania Twain for you, Slee.
No, John.
Do you like, feel like a woman, Slee?
Can whoa.
Well, that's the name of the song.
I know. No, I if you wanted to go with Backstreet Boys, You Are My Fire, My One Desire.
Yeah.
We could do
I want
that,
it
that right
way?
Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It, we can do that
I,
on
oh,
air.
Oh, I have that.
No, 98 Degrees, that's kind of next level there for you, John.
That's the
surprising.
Man. That's the man Nick Lachey was in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't even know. They're all
I yeah, I confused the people that were in the various bands. So Nick Lachey was 98 Degrees. Nick
this
Carter
is 98 Degrees, by the way.
Was in the Backstreet Boys,
yep.
right?
I don't know.
And then NSYNC was Timberlake, right? That was his NSYNC.
I think all of this sounds right, but I could
yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Yeah. yeah.
If you have to come up with a walk-up song that's a woman.
Do I have New Kids on the Block in here? Let's
yeah.
see.
But what if you had to do what the Mets did? I'm trying to think. If I would probably... See, Party in the USA from Miley Cyrus is a good song.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. That would probably be what I'd pick. All right. Coming up next, Wheel of Questions.
Ooh.
It will spin the wheel, get everybody's thoughts on that, and we'll do it next.
And it is the biggest show on the radio, Mason and Ireland, here each weekday, 1 to 4 p.m.
Okay, this is kind of philosophical.
Hmm.
Is it possible to cry underwater? Ramona, what do you think?
yeah, that sounds like you could. I think you could cry.
Bergman?
I mean, it would just wash up the tears right away.
Bergman, yeah, can you cry
would.
Underwater?
The tears would go kind of away real fast, but yeah, I don't see why not. I mean,
Jorge, what do you
function
think?
Function of your body.
I don't know.
I think the answer to this is no.
Why?
How would you guys? I would know I was crying, but you guys wouldn't be able to tell.
So we would. So because we don't know, that means it doesn't happen.
No. I think if I'm the only one that knows I'm crying, how could I prove to you guys
well,
that
your
I'm
eyes
crying?
Would be red.
Yeah. You can still see a tear
usually
dripping
when
from
I
your
cry,
face.
I have like things
well,
that
wait a
happen.
Minute. The tear would be dripping in water. There would be no drip. Well,
yeah, like, but your eyes would turn red.
Yes.
Usually and your also, eyes
you
turn red.
Couldn't we just attribute that to salt water or
yeah,
chlorine
could.
Or
you
something?
You could totally fake it.
Right.
You could definitely fake that.
My phone's waterproof. I'll do it this weekend in the pool.
Your phone is. You so wait.
Yeah.
You're going to take.
I'm going to take the phone into the pool.
You're an idiot.
I'm going to hit the record button.
Okay.
I'll punch myself
the
in the stomach.
Issue with this
your
issue.
Phone, by the way, is water resistant. It's not waterproof.
No, I got one of those things that you put it into. Like if you go on a vacation and you're in the water.
Yeah, but then how do you turn on the camera?
You press the button. It's a touch screen.
I feel like I've cried in the shower before.
Yeah, but that you could duck your head out from
yeah,
under the shower.
Out, yeah.
I don't think you can do it. I don't think it's physically possible.
Let's try it. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, please do.
Who thinks that Greg is a good enough actor to cry on command?
I'm not a good enough actor, period, and I don't cry, so
right.
it's got to all be real.
When's the last time you cried?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Wait, you cry about Riley stuff, don't you?
No.
You don't?
No.
Like if she did something, like if she was the lead in a play and was singing and did like killed it, you wouldn't cry?
I would be very proud of her and I would feel wonderful. I'd feel great. I would just wouldn't cry. I don't know. I don't cry. I can't get myself to cry. And when, even when I do, I feel like I'm faking it.
Wow.
Is that weird?
You're kind of dead inside.
Never? True. No, I mean, it's not never. I've definitely cried in my life.
Like, what would happen if your dog died?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Would you cry?
Don't tell me that. I'll knock on wood. 3 hours yesterday. So, yeah, no. I think I would cry.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
a
couple that we're friends with, their daughter is in high school, and she was the lead. She had the Elle Woods part in a Legally Blonde play.
Okay.
So we went and saw her. She's 16. Name is Sienna Frederick. She just blew the doors off the place. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, I'm sitting next to her dad, and I'm like, I don't know how you can even sit through this and not lose it. Your daughter is spectacular. He goes, well, it's the 17th time I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It was a little bit different. But still, I mean, you'll see, because your kids are super
young.
Oh,
I'm a huge crier.
When they do anything good, it's like you'll just lose it.
I mean, when I was like, I cried a lot in and around the baby stuff, because one, you're super hormonal and you have not slept. So that makes you more predisposed to cry. Two, like any little thing that's like touching, somebody says something touching, somebody like you just like immediately, it's just like push the button. So I can't imagine. I mean, taking him to preschool for the first, tomorrow is the last day of summer camp and I'm a little
for
emotional.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might be the last day that he's with this teacher that he's had for the whole year. Because he'll move to the next level.
You're
going to
lose it. Yeah.
It's the last day with Ms. Sherrod. I'm going to get sad.
Going to check on you. Oh, my gosh. My wife. My wife is, I mentioned, she's driving to Park City. And she just got into Utah. Gas is $4.50 a gallon.
Like, that's
not good.
That's
not
still
good,
not
but
good.
It's a lot. I just paid $6.50 here.
I got excited when it was under 7.
Yeah. Still.
Out in the valley, I can find under 6. There's stations out near me. Kind of off brand though.
Okay. Hey, did you watch Hard Knocks?
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay, it's good.
It's really good.
But one of the things that happens in it is they make
I like Hard Knocks.
They make the rookies sing, and their number one draft pick, that kid Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan, gets up and sings Billie Jean. And I was like blown away that people that age, because they're all in their 20s, knew the words to Billie Jean. It was kind of crazy. So it's not uncommon to make rookies and new guys sing. So there's a offensive lineman at Duke named Chance Lytle. Okay.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. He graduated from Colorado, but he has a year of eligibility left. So he had a double major in music, vocal performance, and psychology. He plays the cello, the violin, the piano, the mandolin, composes his own music and lyrics. So they heard, all his teammates had heard this about him, and they said, well, can you sing? He goes, not really. And they said, well, sing something. And then he got up. So picture a football room, everybody in the room, and this is Chance Lytle, the new offensive lineman at Duke.
What? This is Andrea Bocelli singing this song. Kind of losing it there. Really good.
All right. Who at ESPN LA would surprise you the most if it turns out had that club in his bag?
Slee would.
Could sing. Could Slee sing?
I think, it wouldn't surprise me. I'd be like, yep, that sounds about right.
Like that?
I can sing. Mason can sing.
I bet you can sing.
Mason can sing.
I definitely cannot sing. I'm terrible.
Cappy.
Cap can sing.
No way.
Oh, yeah. I there's no doubt in my mind
he
Cap can sing.
He can sing be-ba-da-boat.
Yeah, no. But if you, like, we'll do it in cross-check. I don't know if he's working today. But I don't mean, he might not
be. He's working today.
This guy basically could be in the opera. Listen to this.
Wow.
I mean, that sounds like, I mean, he could sing tomorrow. You know, back to, we were talking about the Hard Knocks stuff. Jorge, have you watched Hard Knocks yet? You haven't seen it yet? Okay, so I'm the only one who's seen it. Dan Campbell.
You may be the only one that watches it.
It's good. I've watched every one of my ten.
I usually watch. I didn't watch the in-season ones, though.
Yeah, the in-season ones are long. But Dan Campbell, the coach of the Lions, is a really easy guy to root for. You can tell he just really cares. Here's an example. This is how much Campbell is pleading with his players to listen to him. And he almost has trouble articulating it. Here it is.
All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys and how I'd set you up for the best possible advantage I can give you to have a season. I swear to you, man. I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please. Let's be better tomorrow.
All right, so that's a guy you could really play for. You can tell he cares deeply. My question would be, Ramona, is that enough? I think you've got to be smart, too. I think Belichick would never break down like that.
No.
Belichick would look at it more analytically. Can you see Belichick getting this emotional?
All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys and how I'd set you up for the best possible.
Wow.
The best possible advantage I can give you to have a season. I swear to you, man.
Yeah.
I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please.
Wow.
Let's be better tomorrow.
I think you can either play or you can't. And
yeah.
I wonder if Dan can't. You can tell his heart's in the right place. He's an easy guy to root for. He cares deeply. I don't know if that's enough to be a head coach in the NFL. What do you think?
It also feels more collegiate.
Right.
Like it feels like something
that's
high school
that's a good
college
point.
Coach would say. The rah-rah and the I care so much. And I think one thing I've learned, and maybe I'm all jaded now because I'm in my 40s and I've been doing this for a while, but, oh, it just sounded so old. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that. It's people have, if you're authentic, like people who do this for a while, or especially when you do it professionally, they can tell right away if you mean it.
Right. I think he means it.
Speeches,
I think he's sincere.
But like they are professionals. They care and they're into it. But at the beginning of a season when you're all still getting to know each other, I mean, there's almost nothing more. We have I'll give you an example. We have these summits every year.
Right.
So all of our ESPN NBA writers will come out for the summit this year. And we used to do them in Bristol and we'd have to fly back there for a couple of nights. Now we do them in L.A. Very happy about this development. Everybody comes here. We have a couple team dinners. We have the editor will give some kind of speech. If I had an editor who gave a speech like that, I'd be like rolling my eyes.
Right.
I'd be like, come on, man. It's like
that's my question.
Each other. Like it's kind of it comes across as like a little lame, a little, you know, yeah, we care. We're on a team. We're putting our bodies on the line. But if you want to say that in the middle of a playoff game, when everything's on the line or you're trying to make the playoff like in a big game, but in the middle of training camp when you're just starting, you kind of have to earn that. And like as a writer, we have a phrase like you have to earn the line. So if you're going to come with a cheesy line, you can't just say it right off the top because the audience will roll their eyes.
Right.
It'll be
interesting to see whether or not they're willing to follow this guy just because I think he cares. I just don't know if he's smart enough to beat Sean McVay or Bill Belichick. All right. Coming up next, Kelly Olynyk got married.
Okay.
What he wore was interesting.
Oh, boy.
Going to throw that at you and a bunch of other stuff next. Momo Informace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.